Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we give thanks to you. For you are the giver of life, and you give us life, Lord Jesus. Life that is abundant and free. Life, O Lord Jesus, that we recognize as being not of our own. And so, Father, we just want to come before you this day, asking that your word will continue to speak to us, even as we meditate on it now. May your spirit open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, O Lord Jesus. We are here to hear from you and you alone. Come, Lord Jesus, through your spirit to be with your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, I see a few things I'd like to bring up to you. One being that we need to be prepared, and God prepares us to go both give and to receive the message. As we see from the passage last week, as well as today, the Lord prepared Cornelius to receive the message. Now, Cornelius was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier who was in charge of about 100 men in his regiment. He was a Gentile, a non-Jew. He was someone who wanted to do good in society. He wanted to live an upright life. He was a devout man who feared God, who prayed regularly, and who gave generously. But he was not saved. Now, why do I say that? Well, we know that being devoted, being reverent, being generous does not save us. I mean, just because we go to church, just because we give, we do things for the poor, we're well known in the community, we're hardworking, we're a good family man, a woman, does not necessarily mean that we're saved. The angel said to Cornelius, in the vision which is retold to us in Acts chapter 11, verse 14, the angel said to Cornelius, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." And so, although Cornelius was not a Christian, God did not overlook. He did not overlook his prayers, nor did he overlook his charity. But rather, they ascended. They ascended into God's presence, his holy presence, like incense, like the smoke of a sacrifice, like an offering unto the Lord. You see, God regarded his acts as if it was coming from someone who had the attitude, who was close to a saving faith. Why? Because Cornelius sought after God. He was seeking after God's righteousness. He was seeking after a relationship with God. And God honored this. God honored Cornelius. How? He honored him by preparing Peter to bring a message to him, a message of salvation to him, his relatives, and his close friends. Isn't it comforting for us? Isn't it comforting for us to know that God prepares the hearts of those who fear him, who does what is right? It gives us hope, doesn't it? Now, if you're here today and you're earnestly seeking after God, I just want you to know, God sees your desires. God sees your heart. And he wants you to hear the gospel message so as to receive the gift of salvation, so as to receive the gift that he's prepared for you. Now, in the vision, Cornelius was able to, can you turn to the next slide, please? Cornelius was able to hear from God what he wanted him to do. And not only that, Cornelius acted on what God had revealed to him. And so the Lord prepared Cornelius to give, to receive the message of God. The Lord prepares the hearts of those who earnestly seek after him. As well, the Lord prepared Peter as his messenger. Now, God did so by revealing his mind, his heart to Peter. Do you remember that? Well, last week we read that while he was in prayer, while he was lingering in the presence of God, in a vision in chapter 10, verse 11, Peter saw heaven open and something that looked like a large sheet coming down to earth by its four corners. It contained a mixture of clean and unclean animals that Peter was told to get up, kill, and eat. And as we saw last week, the Jewish culture had a very strict food law. They could not eat unclean animals so as to keep themselves as a holy people, in order to set themselves apart, set Israel apart from other nations. This is again because they misunderstood the doctrine of election, thinking that they were favored, thinking that they could develop traditions to keep them apart from other people. And so Peter replied in verse 14, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And then a voice spoke up, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." Though the vision was in referring to Jewish food laws, Peter soon realized that the scope of this vision was much, much broader than that. The divine cleansing of food was indeed a parable for the divine cleansing of all people. You see, God was overturning the old clean and unclean dietary laws, along with all the other ceremonial laws in the Mosaic Covenant, because nothing is to get in the way of Gentiles, of non-Jews, entering into the kingdom of God. The gospel is for all people, of all nations, of all cultures. And so the Lord prepared Peter to be his messenger by revealing his heart, his mind to him. As well, the Lord did so by taking away Peter's prejudice. Peter says in verse 28, God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. And then in verse 34, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. How may God be preparing us to be his messengers to other people? What is it that God needs to reveal to us or to take away from our lives in order that we may be used by him to reach others who are different than us? Do we know of someone who's a good person, who contributes to society, who's reverent, who's generous, but doesn't yet know the Lord? What message does God have for that person through us, through you? What is the message that we bring to those who ask us? Verse 33, Cornelius says, "Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Now, they were eager, they were willing to hear from the Lord. Now, no pressure, Peter. No pressure. We just want to hear what the Lord has to say through you. So as we can see, the Lord prepares Cornelius to receive the message, but he also prepares Peter to be his messenger. Now, that's a comforting thought for me, because for those of us who know of people who do not yet know Christ, know that the Lord prepares and will be preparing their heart to receive the message of the gospel. And know that the Lord will also prepare the heart of those who will bring the message of the gospel to them one day. That's a very comforting thought. And secondly, preaching the gospel to all nations. Now, we read that Peter, you know, was in Joppa, right? And now Joppa was the place where, if you remember, Jonah, centuries earlier, had boarded a ship to sail for Tarshish in order to run away from God, in order to avoid preaching repentance to the Ninevites. Do you remember that? Now, here in Acts 10, Peter receives his vision from God in Joppa to preach the gospel to the Gentiles for the very first time. But unlike Jonah, Peter doesn't run away from God, but rather he leaves from Joppa to go to Caesarea in order to obey the Lord, in order to be God's instrument of use, in order to be the messenger that God wants to use to speak to Cornelius. You know, we're to verbally share the gospel with all people. And notice that the angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius. I mean, he could have. An angel could have just preached the gospel to Cornelius, but he didn't. He let Peter do that. You know, in our situations of life that we find ourselves in, you know, God is sending us. He's sending you to reach other people, to reach other cultures for Christ. But in an effort for us to not turn people away or to appear judgmental, we don't take hold of the opportunities that may be there for us each day. And we were talking about prejudices last week, right? We're talking about prejudices, how they can form barriers that get in the way of the gospel. And so we need to break down these barriers. Well, there is a prejudice. There's a prejudging that we have sometimes. We feel that no one wants to hear the gospel. We feel that every time we share the gospel with someone, they're going to reject us. And so we don't share the gospel as a result of that. Now, do you feel like that sometimes? And because of our fear of rejection, because of our prejudging of how others may think they'll respond to us, we're kind of handcuffed from sharing the gospel with others. We do not follow the lead of the Lord because of our fear, our insecurity, our fear of being rejected. Paul reminds us in Romans 10, verse 13 to 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? We are to verbally share the gospel with all people. As well, we are to be witnesses of what God has done. To be witnesses of what God has done. Now, as Peter preached, it became very clear that the Gentiles had come to a saving faith. Because the Holy Spirit fell on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were filled with praise and speaking in tongues. But Peter was astonished to see in verse 47, that day, the Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have, he says. The Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. You know, Peter noticed. He noticed that what had happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was happening here. Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 10. The Samaritans and the Gentiles had come to faith, and they were also the Spirit of God was being poured out on them also. Now, these are three critical times in which the gospel had been proclaimed, in which the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto people. To the Jews, Acts chapter 2, to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and to the Gentile world in Acts chapter 10. You know, sometimes we stop sharing the gospel. Sometimes we stop sharing the gospel when our loved ones have received Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is, I found that when my immediate family, my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad, when they came to know Christ, I was extremely happy. And for sure I was happy. But I unconsciously felt as if my job had been done. My job had been done. I prayed for them. I shared the gospel with them. They came to faith in the Lord. My job is done. And I think I somehow unconsciously felt that. But I know that I still need to pray. I still need to pray for my in-laws, my wife's parents, who do not yet know the Lord. I still need to pray for my uncles and my aunts, of which one of them passed away just this past Monday. And I'm not sure. I can only trust that in God's mercy and God's grace that somehow in her life she had a chance to hear the gospel. And somehow in the dying hours of her life, the Lord met with her. I can only hope that taken place. I still need to pray for my cousins, my relatives who do not yet know the Lord. I still need to pray for my friends, my neighbors that I live next to, and for you, you know, your colleagues who you work with. We still need to pray for them. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, Christianity is a faith for all nations, for all tribes, for all peoples, for all tongues, and for all ages. In John's vision in Revelations, he says this. He says, there before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Now let us not stop, brothers and sisters, being his witnesses. Let us continue to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Even as I look around this room, I see many things that the Lord has encouraged us with that we need to continue to tell. I see how he has really answered the prayers of so many people in this room. Our dear brother Cliff and their family Libby. We cannot stop telling that story of how God in his mercy and grace had saved them. Years earlier, Kathy, going through a similar thing. We cannot stop telling the story of how God in his mercy and grace had not only saved her in her traumatic situation with her brain aneurysms, but also how God has strengthened her and healed her and allowed her to go back to work. We cannot stop telling the stories of those that we know around us, who, despite difficult situations with parents, have seen their parents come back to healing, and God has healed them. But also in the situations where God did not heal, how his presence was so near to us, so near to you. We cannot stop telling these stories. We cannot stop telling these stories of how people who have dealt with mental health issues, who have faced depression, the second time around, when they face it again, they do not go as deep. They do not go as much into the black hole. But the Lord has lifted them up from the miry clay and set their feet on solid rock. And they're able to find strength in the Lord to go through their mental health issues. We cannot stop telling the stories of those who, by medical standards, were not able to have children. Medically speaking, they could not have children. They were told time and time again. But the Lord heard their cry and gave them a child against all medical odds. And not only that, I hear some of them having a second child. We cannot stop telling these stories of what the Lord is doing in our lives. We need to be God's witnesses in the places that he's put us, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to be preached, so that the stories of what Christ has been doing in the lives of our people, our community, your families, will continue to be told. And thirdly, I see this in this passage. We need to pursue new areas of obedience to God. We need to pursue new areas of obedience to God. And in the Jewish culture, it was not only against their law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him or her, it was considered disgusting. It was taboo for a Jew to visit a Gentile or to be associated with them. But Peter, he tells us the reason he's broken this law, why he's broken the centuries-old prohibition. It was because God had shown him. Verse 28. It was because God had shown him not to call anyone impure or unclean. What things has God shown you? What thing has God shown us that we need to rethink, that we need to change? Because we're setting up barriers to the gospel. We're setting up barriers to others' salvation. Because our culture, our customs, our traditions have caused prejudices and a prejudging of people due to their race, their background, their nationalities, their upbringing, their age, or maybe even their sex. And as Peter saw the work of the Holy Spirit just come in verse 44, 46, the Spirit just came upon the people. He just went along with it. He wasn't trying to impose his own agenda, manipulate the situation. Hey, wait a minute. Guys, I haven't finished preaching the gospel yet. Guys, I haven't given the altar call yet. He just allowed the work of God to continue to take place. The Spirit of God flowing, flooding, outpouring into those whose hearts were ripe to hear the gospel, whose hearts were prepared to hear the gospel. And Peter instructed those who heard the message, who believed, to be baptized with water. And so the Gentiles became ritually clean. They were ritually clean, their sins are forgiven, and they were welcomed into the kingdom of God as a result. This was unheard of in those days. Gentiles coming to faith. And Peter, we'll see in the next chapter, will get in trouble for this. He'll get in trouble for breaking the law of associating with Gentiles, of eating with them, of being with them, of bringing them to faith. Brothers and sisters, how could God be leading us in new areas of obedience to Him? How can God be leading us into new areas of ministry that He may be showing to us? How can our church be more open to those who have not yet heard the gospel? How can we be more of a church that is for this community? You know, allowing those who do not yet know Christ to find them just as they are, warts and all, imperfect, sinful, unholy. Perhaps God is opening up the doors of our church, of His church, to those who were once alienated from the church, to the poor, to the homeless, to the marginalized, maybe even to the prostitutes and homosexuals. Perhaps those of us who do not have friends, who do not have good friends of a different nationality, can pray that God will bring some other people into our lives that we can love and befriend and be genuinely loving too. Perhaps we can ask someone who come to our service, we don't know them very well, or they're new to our church, perhaps we can ask them after service to come out and join us for a meal. I know this takes courage. I know this takes a lot of love to do that. Perhaps the Chinese church cannot just minister to the Chinese anymore. And that our name, VCAC, should be more inclusive of those who represent and live in this area in Vancouver. Perhaps we can expand our taste in worship music. to those of the younger generation, to those of the older generations, because the church is for people of all ages. I love singing those hymns. And we're going to continue to sing those hymns in heaven with the Lord and with all of God's people. I also love singing those new songs, because it's a way in which the younger generation can express themselves, a way in which the younger generation can allow themselves to worship the Lord with the full expression, with the wording and the phrasing that maybe they're familiar with. Brothers and sisters, when we're in heaven one day, we're going to be singing old hymns. And we're going to be singing a lot of new songs we do not know. May the Lord be preparing us today to be more open in our choice of worship music. And even though we don't know a song, let's try to know it. We're not singing to one another, we're singing to the Lord. Perhaps God is already moving in our midst, as He has opened the door of our church leadership to include ordained women pastors, female elders, younger board members. Fraser Lands, what is the Lord showing us? What is the Lord revealing to us? How can we pursue new areas of obedience to the Lord? We do this in times of quietness. Of quietness. We do this in times when our ears are tuned to the voice of the Spirit. Both Peter and Cornelius were in prayer when they saw the vision and heard from the Lord. We need to allow the voice of the Lord and the affirmation of the Lord to allow us to go forward and to do things that are new to us today, rather than to let the fear of men and their disapproval. We do not work in those ways. We do not allow act out of fear and disapproval, but rather out of the love of God and what we hear from the Lord. And if we're moving not as fast as some of you would like us to, don't be discouraged. But trust that God will reveal things to us in His time, in His way, and with the right people in place. With Peter's and Cornelius's in our midst, who God will reveal things to. Because He, our Lord, is the only one who can make these things happen. We cannot make it happen. Our role as a community of faith is to discern together, to pray together, to watch together, and to listen together, to be open to the changes that God would have us do. To be open to the changes that God brings our way. May it not be from ourselves. May it not be from the world and how the world would have us do things. Shall we pray? Lord, we come into Your presence, recognizing, O God, that Your plans and Your ways are above our ways. We can plan all we want. We can desire things all we want. We can put structures in place. We can do things according to our tradition, our customs. Lord God, you are the only one who is from everlasting to everlasting. You're the only one who can see into the past and into the future. You're the only one, O Lord Jesus, who is before all creation and will be existing eternally for all of time. And so, Lord Jesus, we come before you, desiring to only trust in you and in your ways. We desire, Lord Jesus, to be people who thirst after your righteousness, who desire a right relationship with you like a Cornelius. We also desire, Lord Jesus, to be people who you will prepare, that you will equip to one day bring your message to a place in our lives, be it our offices, be it our boardrooms, be it amongst our non-Christian friends. We desire to be people, Lord Jesus, that you will prepare one day that we can bring your message of salvation, that your message of the gospel too. Because, oh God, you have given us that privilege to do that. You could have sent your angels to do that. You could have sent many other people to do that. But Lord Jesus, you desire to use us as willing vessels, as unclean vessels. So Lord Jesus, we come before you recognizing that you are God and that we are not. And that your ways, again, are above our ways. And so we look to you and we turn to you, Lord Jesus, to be the one who leads us individually in our lives. To be the one who leads our families. To be the one who guides our careers and our futures, our uncertainties in life. But as well, Lord Jesus, as we are gathered as a community, that you also be the one who leads our church. That even though we do have a new elders board, that elders board, Lord Jesus, will come before you in prayer, in seeking a vision from you for our church. Father, we come humble. Come knowing, Lord Jesus, that your purposes will prevail. So Lord God, help us to be people who are obedient to you, whose one desire is to obey our Lord. That when you show us things, O Lord Jesus, then when you show us things to do, that we will act upon it. Lord God, thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for being with those who desperately need you. Thank you, Lord God, that your presence makes all the difference. We want to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth, with new songs and old songs, with the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we direct it to you this day and in the week to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Magnify your holy name. Let's continue to stand and worship our Lord together.